So will you pray with me as we pray a prayer of illumination? Gracious God, before we hear this word, open our hands. We come with so little, whatever we carry today. Take what we bring and take us with it. Speak now through this word that we might be fed before we even know we were hungry and find again that your word is bread enough for everyone at this table. By your Spirit, open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our lives to be changed by what you say. Amen. We'll be reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, and the words will appear behind me like magic. So let's read it along together. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Listen now for a word from God. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and he cured the sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is late. Send the crowds away so that they may go to the village and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate, and they were filled. And then they took up what was left over of the broken pieces and 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever gotten such bad news that you just simply had to get away? Just get away from everyone. I was 12 years old, and I was with my dad when he suffered from a cerebral aneurysm. He collapsed in front of me. He was completely unresponsive. The ambulance came and took him away, and my family came and took me back to the family home. As we got to the family home, all other family members started gathering there. It got to be pretty crowded and crazy, and I immediately ran into the bathroom and locked myself in. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. And so I just stayed in the locked bathroom. And I began to think maybe this was how Jesus felt when he got word. To know what was happening, it's alluded to in verse 13, but you need to go back to chapter 14 and read the whole story. Because if you read the story, right before our story today, Jesus heard terrible news. He heard that his cousin, John the Baptizer, had been murdered by Herod. That's what he heard. And so he just needed to get away to a deserted place. And he got on the boat, and he went across the water. And wouldn't you know it, the crowds ran around the lake and got there before he did. And so as he got off the boat, he was faced with thousands of people clamoring for him. And what did it say that Jesus did? He had compassion. Now, maybe he didn't lock himself in the bathroom like I did, but he came out, and he healed the sick, and he took care of people. Now, that wasn't the end of the story, though, was it? Because after a long, grueling day, his disciples said, "Jesus, it's getting kind of late. It's supper time, and these people need to eat. Will you please send them away so that they might go and buy food?" And you heard what Jesus said. He said, "You feed them." And the disciples said, "We don't have anything here except this kid who's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them to me." Now, I've been in church for many, many years. I know that Tyler said this was my first Sunday or my first preaching ever. But I've been in church a long, long, long time, as evidenced by this crown of glory. And every time we did a potluck or prepared meals for people, there was always someone on the sideline doing this. We're not going to have enough. We're not going to have enough. Look at all the people. There's never going to be enough. We can't possibly have enough from this. You've been there too? It's true. Somebody is always wringing their hands and saying, don't invite any more people. We can't take it. We can't do it. What will we do if we don't have enough? Is that funny? But Jesus said four words in these verses that we're going to take to heart today. Four verbs in this order. He took the five loaves and two fishes. Looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. Those are the words we're going to look at today. Taken, blessed, broken, and given. Before anything can happen, before the blessing, before the breaking, before a single person gets to eat, somebody has to hand over what they have, and Jesus has to take it. Notice here that Matthew does not say that the loaves became sufficient when Jesus took them. He doesn't say the disciples solved the math program, the math problem. He did say that there were five loaves and two fishes for a crowd numbering 5,000 men. Now I have men at home. They eat a lot, don't they, Jacob? But then they didn't count the women. And all told, people said, counting women and children, there could have been a crowd of 20,000 people. That's quite a crowd, isn't it? 20,000 people. And by any honest reckoning, two fish and five loaves of bread is never going to be enough. But Jesus takes the offering anyway, exactly as small as it is. The offering was taken, really chosen by God so that God could act out of our paltry gift and God would create the abundance. What do? We simply give what we have, as large or as little as that may seem to be to us. And maybe sometimes we too look at what we have to offer and we say, Jesus, this isn't enough to even matter. I'm not going to worry about giving because it's not enough. And when that happens, don't forget these verses, that Jesus doesn't care about our own abundance. Jesus is just asking us to give out of what we have. Taken and then blessed. Verse 19b continues, taking five loaves and two fish, he looked up to heaven and he blessed. Every Jewish person standing on that hillside knew, recognized the gesture before Jesus said a single word. This is called the berakah. It's the blessing that every Jewish family says over every single meal and at the table. And they would have recognized this before Jesus said a single word. And he said in Hebrew, Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. And what that means in English is, blessed are you, O Lord, our God of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. You know, if you go to the restaurant Chewy's, I'm not doing an ad for Chewy's, but I'm going to tell you, you get the silverware, what's on there? There's three blessings on there, one Protestant, one Catholic, and one Jewish. This blessing is on the Chewy's silverware. So if you ever need a blessing, go take one of their little blessing bags. Just leave the silverware. Now, Jesus is not doing something unusual over this bread. He's not doing anything at all unusual. Let's be clear. He's not waving a magic wand. He's not saying, all of a sudden, I'm going to multiply this bread. He is blessing God. That is simply what he's doing. He's naming God as the source of what's already in his hands. Bread doesn't become special because Jesus says these magic words. Bread was already a gift. The blessing just says so. And this is why we say a blessing over our meal every time we eat. Is that true? It's not a formality. We don't rush through it so that the food doesn't get cold. And this is the same practice that Jesus modeled for us, that is naming God out loud as the one who provides before we have any idea of the provisions or how they'll stretch, or in my house, how good the food will be. We thank God in advance, naming God out loud. That's powerful, isn't it? Taken, blessed, and then broken. Continuing in verse 19, he says, he broke the loaves. So when we read these verbs, we're like, taken, that's fine, blessed, wonderful, but broken? The loaves do not multiply by staying whole in Jesus' hands. They multiply upon the breaking. And I can't stand here and tell you that all brokenness is good and that suffering is valuable. It isn't. But the text does not celebrate the breaking, my friends. We only know that once the bread is broken, it becomes able to serve it to others the way a whole bread just cannot. And Scripture states this fact. Bread that stays intact cannot feed a crowd. So let's be careful when we read this brokenness, because we don't want to equate brokenness even of ourselves, whether it's due to a diagnosis or a difficult marriage or a rotten job or even grief. We don't want to say that that's a secret gift from God. I'm not saying this, and the text does not say this either. Matthew does not tell us that the loaves felt honored to be broken. He just tells us what happened next. Broken bread, not ruined bread. Bread that is on its way to becoming food for a crowd, not bread that stopped being useful because it was broken. So here we've got taken, blessed, broken, and next given. In verse 19, finally, Jesus gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Did you catch that? Giving happens twice. Jesus does not hand the bread directly to the crowd. Could you imagine him trying to hand it to thousands and thousands of people? He hands it to the 12 disciples, and the 12 disciples carry it out to the crowd hand to hand until it reaches people at the edge who never even got to see Jesus. And this giving is not a single transaction. It is a chain of events. Jesus gives to the disciples give to the crowd. Blessed and broken does not do anyone good sitting in the hands of the 12 disciples. It doesn't do anybody any good. And so the disciples take what has already been blessed and broken, and they get it into the hands of somebody who never got close enough to Jesus to even see him directly. And that's not a metaphor. That's kind of a job description describing exactly what the disciples' job is in this story. So finally, Matthew does not say that it matters. What matters the most? I'm going to tell you this in verse 20. All ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. Now, don't get me wrong, I love me some leftovers. Don't you? 12 baskets of leftovers from this miracle that Jesus brought down. You see, the thing that we need to remember here is that giving it away does not draw down the supply. It doesn't. The giving did not deplete the supply of bread. It revealed a supply that no one could see while they were holding on to it. The leftovers are proof that this economy of God somehow runs backwards. It's different than our own personal economy of how we manage our checking account or our calendars or whatever energy you have left at the end of a week. Here, giving it away is how you end up with more than you started with. And the details couldn't be any clearer. 12 baskets left over. Not just enough, as in the potluck. More than when they started. In a few minutes, Pastor Jacob's going to come forward and he's going to lead us in exactly what we've heard from these verses today. in the taking of the bread, in the blessing of it, in the breaking, and in the giving of it, hand to hand to hand, until it reaches everyone. And this is not a reenactment that we do out of habit. It is the same sequence that the disciple Matthew wrote about some 20 centuries ago. The same thing we're doing today, happening again right here. So today, when we come to the table, it's not because we have enough faith or enough answers or even enough hope for this morning. We come with whatever is in our hands. 5 loaves, 2 fish. One small and ordinary thing, and we let God do it again. We let God do what God has always done with small and ordinary things that are offered up. It'll be taken and blessed and broken and given once more. And to that I say, amen. Amen.